Christian. Don't forget his name, Fred Gaskin. Afternoon Delight, Village Vice. I'm about to see the light.
Is half three hearts. The baseball game is about to start. Nope, there's a 6-hour rain delay. Albernator, birds and gators. Panama Canal has got a savior. Zach hates Matt, Big Ben Brad. I just took you 2-pound town with a strap.
Dabs at Brad and
here we are. We're back. It's Barncast Live Sunday night edition.
Don't forget his name, Fred Gaskin.
And everybody remember the over-under wheel on Thursday? We may have an over-under in jeopardy already. Y'all want to know what it is?
There it is.
Brad Law is in the building. If you took the under, you're sweating bullets right now. You're sweating bullets because one more appearance blows the over off, blows the over ceiling just completely away.
Wait
Brad,
a minute.
Welcome in. Welcome in, Christian. Welcome in, Dap. Let's have some fun tonight. Before we get started, we're going to talk a lot of roster management and work through some numbers and things like that. But if you haven't noticed it already, we're launching Barn 24/7 on YouTube. We're working out the kinks. But here's the thing. We want you to be able to, hey, if you wake up after a bad dream and you need to go back to sleep, we want you to be able to just flip on the, and you need the barn to help you go to sleep. Flip on the barn at any point in time, and it's going to be a continuous loop of all the shows. You're going to get a lot of the premium shows are going to be in there. They're not going to be on demand. You still need the membership to be able to watch them on demand, but all kinds of content that we're going to be pumping on that thing. So, it's funny when we turned it on, Christian, there was like, there's always like 20 or 30 people in there just chatting it up.
I love it.
It's the coolest thing.
You know, there's such a thing known as the witching hour at 3 a.m. where people get up and there's like all kind of psychological deep dives on why people wake up at 3. New mothers wake up a lot in the middle of the night, right? Got it.
That's who I want watching the barn.
You get on there and now you have something to do and to watch. You get up at 3. Just turn the barn on. Don't worry about laying there in your bed with your eyes wide open, looking at the ceiling. Let's go.
Yeah. Brad, how fired up are you for this?
I'm pretty fired up. What I want to know, the over-under was I misunderstood. I thought it was how many more barn casts before I join, but that's not what it was. It was how
well,
many,
it was
like,
actually
period?
So it was actually during the football season, which is which would be really tough for you to do. So now it's like we're kind of outside the bet range right now.
Yeah.
So it was technically like after the football season starts, how many? And it was 1.5. But these are going to be don't count really. But it's funny to talk about.
Take the over.
Take the over. Smash the over. We're going to get the FBI may get involved in this one.
Somewhere Brad Bohannon is putting in a bet for the over. He got too excited.
He already has.
That's hilarious. Okay, and then the second thing we're going to talk about before we jump in, contest giveaway tonight. It's a membership giveaway contest. You're going to get $50 worth of AUShirts.com gear. You're going to either subscribe to a barn membership or gift one, and every time you gift one or subscribe, you get added to the wheel, and at the end of the show, we're going to spin the wheel and then give some gear away. We already gave some away a couple of times ago. AU-89 got some sweet Auburn gear. I think it arrived too, by the way. So if you're in the chat, I got the notification that it arrived. So that'll be a lot of fun. So we'll keep up with that. So make sure you got to subscribe or gift a membership and you're in. All right. Now
I already got it started. Got 5 gifts in the chat. Let's go, folks. Come on.
Rumor has it we may have a barn t-shirt and hoodie down the road too to give away. Let's go. Kyle, if Kyle will approve that, a Nike one, as a matter of fact.
Let's go. Let's
the
go.
Authentic.
We may be able to do that as well. We'll just have to keep that on the down low.
Yep. I should have said that. Announced it on here. My bad.
I'm kidding.
I felt right, moved by the spirit. Let's go.
Auburn adds another commitment. Surprise, surprise. James Branch, the wide receiver turned safety from, the most classic Auburn pipeline ever, St. Francis Academy out of Maryland.
No. Come on. Don't say that. That's blasphemous. Brad, let's say it together. Dillard High School.
Well, I was the most. Dap, it's so funny that you mentioned that. I was about to mention that the St. Francis pipeline right now is pumping maybe a little stronger
Than the old Dillard pipeline. I stand corrected, Kyle. I apologize. I thought Dillard was the – but it was the – I think
– that was like one class, though, wasn't it?
No, it was a couple, but it was the quality of the – I'm not saying these kids aren't quality. They were just like, all-timers.
Yeah, no, Dillard in the early 90s was a force, and the Bowden connection just – he got him here.
Yeah.
Got him here. So,
you know what's funny? Now that you mentioned that, this is kind of a sidetrack. So, Chandler Wooten, who has Landing on the Plains on our network, he brought on Sean Shivers on Thursday. So, Sean would have been way young. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe not even really maybe not even born yet when the Dillard Five were, at Auburn. But he mentioned that was still – that was still in the ether when he was coming up, and that was still a thing. Like, people are down there still talked about the Dillard Five in Auburn, and that's kind of how that first little introduction to Auburn, that's kind of how he knew about Auburn, was the Dillard Five. So that's a really cool episode y'all need to check out. But
which means, by the way, that like 25 years from now, a whole new generation of St. Francis kids are going to come to Auburn, and one of them is going to make a legendary play to win an Iron Bowl game.
There you go.
Hopefully some of these guys make some legendary plays in a very short amount of time. But James Branch, wide receiver turned safety, super freak athlete, 6'3", 215 already. That makes the fourth player, if I'm not mistaken, out of Maryland this class. On top of all your other guys that are already on the roster, your transfers you brought in from St. Francis, your high school kids you got from St. Francis, a lot of fun. That's not necessarily what I want to talk about. Where I'm going this tonight is Auburn is now at 26 total commits. Am I correct? 26 total commits?
26.
I did the math, and Auburn has 25 seniors leaving. Okay, so you're going to have 25 spots open up, and then there's probably – would y'all agree Xavier Atkins is pretty much draft guy? Like, if he has a solid season, like, he's probably going into the draft?
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah.
Is Keyshawn Singleton, if he has another big year, probably the only other really true pro prospect, unless somebody just explodes,
Cobb,
that you guys can think of?
Jeremiah Cobb.
He's a senior this year. This is his fourth year.
I thought it was his thought he was a junior.
This is his fourth.
Wow.
This is his fourth year, because we were talking about him potentially coming back for the 5-5, 5-5. Like, that would be electric. But would you say Keyshawn Singleton maybe the only other one? Is there one I'm missing?
Maybe Caleb Harris?
Yeah, Harris is one. Let's say two. Let's say we get two juniors that could potentially go. So now you're at 27. Guys potentially leaving the roster. So my question is this. There's no doubt that for Auburn to be competitive, I know we're getting way ahead of ourselves. Definitely want to be competitive this year, but to be competitive next year, there's going to have to be some key positions replaced, probably from the portal. At any point in time, are we getting ourselves into the territory where we're maybe not really giving ourselves any room for that, or very little room, and then to where you're just, hey, we got to wait for somebody to leave before we add somebody new? I don't know. I'm just the whole numbers game. I'm just wondering how we're feeling about the number of commits versus who all's leaving, and how you manage all that.
Kyle set it up. What you're saying is the number of guys who are going to just be running out of eligibility.
Yes.
And the number of guys in the class. I don't know what I have against my microphone. I've knocked it over twice. A lot of aggression tonight, apparently. But that the number of guys in the signing class is going to equal the number of guys who are just simply out of eligibility.
Correct. I think it's going to be very close.
Okay. All right. Yeah, especially if you take a few more. I don't know, guys. I think we're in the era of college football where you know like a certain number of your guys are gone anyway. And so you know going in, you're probably going to have 14, 15, 16 guys who have eligibility choose to leave. Maybe they're redshirt freshmen. Maybe they're sophomores. Maybe they're true freshmen who just go, nope, this is not what I thought, and I'm out. But I think you have significant room with 105 scholarships available, and just know it. You're not going to have fewer than like 7 or 8 or 9 people decide to transfer out with eligibility. So you've got some room. You don't know the exact number, but you know you're going to have room. Am I off on that,
guys? No, I agree with you 100%. We talked about that before we hit record. That was the comment that I made to Kyle, is you're going to have attrition every year. Now, that number could go anywhere from 12 to 18, depending on what your success rate is, what your results are. Do people want to jump ship because they want playing time? Do people want to jump ship because the team doesn't play, isn't very good? There's a variety of reasons people leave rosters. I think, Brad, your number's right on. Let's just say conservatively 14, 15, 16 guys leave. The difference this year or next year will be, instead of Auburn going just to fill spots on a roster in the transfer portal, they will have to go aggressively to get immediate impact guys. So it's not about building depth and filling spots. If you only have that many seniors and you only lose 14 guys, the 14 you get, better make sure they are going to get significant snaps. And I think you can do that. At the end of the day, it's a nice problem to have, because all the good schools, that's what they do. They have a pipeline of high school athletes come in that formulate this roster, and then they go cherry pick portal kids that will only help them. Remember when we used to get guys in the portal just to get bodies? Those days may be gone. And if you're looking at this scenario, then it's actually a good place to be in.
And honestly, I feel like this is another reason why I really like this 27 class, because it feels way more well-rounded than what we've seen over the last couple seasons, where maybe it's like very top-end heavy. But like this year, moving to 27, that's going to replace these seniors and the natural attrition that you guys are talking about. I do think that it's more well-rounded to the fact that you can go focus on those key just individual people inside the transfer portal to get those snaps that you need to take that next step after, you have a hopefully competitive year one. So I'm all for this year's class because of that. So yeah. compared to what it could have been, before May.
Dap, you made an interesting point there that maybe I have overlooked a little bit. Not throwing anybody under the bus, okay, at all. But like when you think of a guy like a Jack Layer, mm-hmm, or a Jacob Strand, you went and got those guys. They were older guys out of the portal, and I think you pretty much brought those guys in as sort of like insurance plans.
Absolutely.
And so
fillers.
Are you getting to a point, let's say that roster spots 75 to 105, like you had to have brought in guys to fill those spots. Now, are you kind of at a place maybe in next year where that roster spot 70 to 105 are freshmen, guys that you brought in their part of that lower end of the roster? When I say lower end of the roster, just understand I'm saying like guys that you're not necessarily going to rely upon to be contributors like immediately. They're sort of like they're great for scout team. They're great for when, injuries, depth, and things like that, but you're not necessarily relying upon those. So are you with this class? Is that maybe the vision? Let's get a big class. And now we're to the point where we're flipping the script. Now we're moving the people that are supposed to be in that section of the roster there, which is the young guys. And we're no longer having to go find guys that are just okay coming in and sitting.
Let's talk about the offensive line as case in point. This is where it'll come to life. This year, Auburn had to replace virtually its whole offensive line, and they did that through the portal. What you ideally want to do is if two or three guys leave and they're gone next year off the offensive line, you want to replace them with freshmen and sophomores you currently have on your roster that got snaps this year as a backup instead of having to go to the portal again and pluck two guys. Oh, I got this group of five guy that's a good start. No, you've got inherently guys on your roster right now that are freshmen and sophomore that they're ready to step in and fill those two or three spots along the offensive line. Same thing with the defensive line. That's ideally what you want to get to.
Yeah.
You know, running back, quarterback, other positions like that, you never know. You're always probably looking for that dude that can make an impact in the skill sets. But Auburn, too long, patchworked offensive line because of poor offensive line recruiting. They went the transfer portal route, and to this point, it hasn't really paid off.
To Dap's point, it's all about the positions where you have to replace starters.
Yeah.
Because, Kyle, I think you're right. You're adding a lot of volume to fill out the back end of a 105 scholarship roster and add some quality volume there. Are you adding quality depth or quality volume? I think it's more quality volume than quality depth. You know, like quarterback, is Tristan Tia going to be the quarterback in 2027? Or do you have a top elite dual threat quarterback and say Byron Brown has a 2,500 passing yard, 800 rushing yard season? And now some elite quarterback wants to go, oh, no, I want to run that offense.
Right.
And so that's a position where you're going to fill out of 16 to 20 guys in the portal. Where else? Offensive line? I don't know. Maybe is there an elite tackle that jumps in that you can get? I don't know. A little bit of it is going to be the market, too, and what positions you're trying to fill on the front end.
I think running back is one we could look at. Cobb goes. If Washington doesn't pan out, and I fully expect he will, I have very, very high hopes. Now you've got Alvin Henderson and the two freshmen coming in. You got Mapson. You got Davenport. But what if one or two of those guys jump ship? Well, you're not going to go get a running back that doesn't make an immediate impact. You're going to go grab one that makes an immediate impact because we feel like Cobb will make an immediate impact. You lose him, you got to replace those yards. So receiver's another position. It always seems like you can go get one that you know, is a guy that comes in and is a difference maker.
Yeah. Shout out to Kathy, by the way, gifting five memberships here. I'll get to that super chat in just a minute.
Kathy's on a roll with that. She does that a lot. We really appreciate that. She crushes it with those. Yeah.
Adds to the wheel of the giveaway. Yeah. Also, I see a comment right at the beginning and walk us through how to gift the membership again. So if you're in the live chat, there's a little like money sign button. You can click that. There's like, it says ways to gift to the barn, super chats, things like that. There is gift membership. And if you're not already a subscriber, not already a member, that subscribe after you click it turns into a join for the membership. You can do that. I do see there's a super chat. Go ahead, Kyle. Sorry about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Just kind of what we were talking about. The poor from Reverend Barn Booster, the portal guarantees attrition 100%. AG's job, Brad's sinking away. AG's job is to know where it's coming, retain the difference makers, and have replacements ready. I like this part right here. Controlled turnover is the goal, not zero turnover.
Amen.
You better be careful. I'm going to make that a graphic bar right there.
That is where you – how do I say this? I got to tiptoe around this.
Why?
Sometimes
plant your flag. Come on.
Sometimes you encourage people to move on.
Yeah.
Right. No, right? Nowadays, that's
now there's a way to do it. You can say, man, I love you. You're a great kid. You've contributed to this program, but I want to see you get playing time. And to get playing time, you're going to have to go here. Yeah. So
that's they celebrated guys for processing roster spots 20 years ago.
They used
ago.
To.
Yeah. Like there was a parade. And so that's absolutely a part of it.
So let me, go ahead.
I'm going to say, how much different do you think it is now based on, you know, before NIL to now, where you have to make those difficult decisions? Obviously, relationships are still involved, but now there's more of that business aspect side of it when you are trying to say, hey, you know, we do have to, we are going to push you into the portal. How much different do you think that is now?
It's only different in the messaging. You had to get creative, I feel like, with how you did it beforehand. Yeah, you had to make it look like it was their choice sort of thing. And now you can just literally cut. I feel like you can just cut people and kind of move on. I want to ask y'all this. There's a lot of talk about the all these different rules and these acts and things like that they are looking to pass and whatnot. One of them is the 1 year free transfer. So my question is, do you think coaches really want that now with the way the portal's going? Because what happens if they use that one transfer to transfer to you and then they fall quickly into that 70 to 105 and there's a shiny new freshman that could come in and take that spot? Do you think coaches are as on board with the 1 year transfer than yeah. maybe the people that are writing the rules?
I think like all of the transfer portal guys, it benefits the top programs the most, and it doesn't really benefit student athletes or the not top programs at all, because it gives those top programs more leverage. It does take some of the leverage away from a player if every year he's got an agent or insider or somebody telling him, you know, you could get 50% more somewhere else. All right, well, then if this school doesn't match it, I'm going to do. What's stopping a school now, if a guy's already used his transfer, from going, man, that junior year you got X. You think your senior year, we're not going to give you X. We're going to give you Y or Z.
Yeah.
What's their recourse?
They can't go anywhere now.
They have to take a year off. Yeah. I think, and this might sound cold, but I got to plant my flag at it. I think coaches can't care. I think they have to just expect, you know, they have to just move on from that portion. As much as you want relationships to matter, they have to put that beside them, the emotional standpoint. And it's like, sorry that you can't play next year. You're going to have to figure that out, but we have to get this team better. So, yeah.
The only way you can spin that, because you do got to be careful. There's a fine line of getting a reputation of being just a factory that churns people in and out, because it could hurt you a little bit in recruiting. I the perception aspect of it. I do want to get to a point where we have a coach, though, that doesn't care as much as maybe we have in the past. But maybe the only other thing you can do is there's a program that comes for you that's a group of five that gives you optimum playing time and maybe can give you similar to NIL, and you can sell that. And then you don't have to sit out that year. You are able to transfer down like that. But that's the only recourse you would have.
Yeah, I don't know. Can anybody – this is – I want to go back to the Dillard Five thing. Can any of you name all five of the Dillard Five?
I can name three. No. Otis Mounds, who got paged during a game in 1990 while we were sitting in the stands against Cal Fullerton because they needed a running back to come out of the stands and suit up.
That's a classic story.
Martavius Houston was one, wasn't he?
Nope, not according to this list I'm looking
okay,
at.
Okay, well then I only – then yeah – oh man, there was a lot. There
Frank
was
Sanders was one.
Yep.
There was a defensive lineman.
One was just on a podcast at the barn just the other day, wasn't he?
Brian Robinson.
I think so. Brian Shivers Robinson.
Shivers was not one of the Dillard five. No. Shivers came.
Oh, he wasn't. Oh.
Who was the defensive tackle, Kyle? If you're looking at it, there's a big defensive lineman.
He's not on this Dillard five.
Oh.
I don't remember a defensive line. Was Calvin Jackson one?
Yes.
Calvin Jackson. Good.
So you've gotten Otis Mounds, Brian Robinson, Frank Sanders, Calvin Jackson, and then the most famous one we've missed.
Frank Sanders? We said Frank Sanders.
Maybe you could argue Frank Sanders is more famous. Maybe had the most successful NFL career.
Oh.
Crap. Who am I missing?
Yeah.
James Luke in the chat, James Bostic?
Yes,
no, James Bostic. It was James Bostic.
Okay.
Oh.
But I put, all right.
Thanks
not
for
the
educating
discussion
me.
We're having
you
now.
You talk about five guys that changed the course of Auburn football.
Holy cow.
My goodness, man. Gracious.
The souls who had to play against Dillard High School offensively, even just offensively, with Calvin Jackson and Brian Robinson on that defense.
So who's the most recent one? Is it him?
I don't know. I don't really know of the most recent one.
I thought we got a defensive tackle from Dillard a couple years later that was pretty good, that was a big boy, that someone out there in the chat could tell me. We did get – I mean, the pipeline
that recruited him.
Junior Rosegreen came from Dillard. Oh, Pat gosh. Sims.
Stanley Pat Sims was the defensive tackle.
Stanley McClover. Oh, I forgot about Stanley McClover.
The freak was from Dillard. Wow. Jeez.
Antoine Carter also. That's another. Remember,
he was a defensive lineman too. Yeah.
He had one of the more important plays maybe in Auburn history in that Iron Bowl against He was the one who ran down Mark Ingram from behind and punched the ball out in 2010, right? That was Antoine Carter.
Was that Carter or was it Antonio Coleman who did that?
I'm almost
okay
positive it was Antoine Carter. Right. That's some dog. Every right. single one of those dudes.
I mean, my goodness gracious, yeah. But that story is true because he was in the stands, and that may have been 89. No, it was 90. It was Stan White's first year. Stan White was that he was in the stands, and they're like, Otis Mounds, please report to the field. Otis Mounds.
But that was always a message board joke, Carter. Like back in the day, too. And I never really knew the whole story.
It's true. It happened. Yep.
Braden Sweatin.
But but Mounds, by the way, ended up playing safety at Auburn, a guy he that did. Switched positions. So
that's classic. So we feel good about, we feel really good about where we are. As far as we're not reticent at all by the high school numbers. Like we feel like the numbers are going to work themselves out, and it may actually put Auburn in a more ideal situation to where you're getting the roster. Dap, you had a term for this. Was it layered? Was layered what you said when you're talking about depth? Layered the right way.
Yeah.
The roster layered the right way where the back end are not dudes. You're going and just snagging out of the portal to fill that back end. It's guys you're bringing in as 18-year-olds that you can get to buy in your culture. And if, you know, especially some of the more three-star guys that are heavy, like you're evaling and looking at traits that could pop, several of those guys pop, and then you're cooking.
I want to go back to something you said at the beginning of the show because – it's ironic. I was thinking it, and I thought we were going to be able to comment on Branch's commitment, and I was going to make a point, and a couple of guys in the chat really read my mind, including a guy with a last name. Looks like he could have come over on the boat with my relatives, a good paisan, Carizanio or something like that.
Yeah.
Probably got a great sauce recipe. But he made the point, this Branch thing, when I read his scouting report, they mentioned he played receiver, he played safety, but eventually they see him as an in-the-box linebacker. Mm. Now, there was another guy, and I'm not saying, but Carlos Dansby is the comp that I came to mind right away, a guy that played receiver, yep. played linebacker, came to Auburn. They put about 15, 20 pounds on him, and he ended up being a freak athlete. In fact, if y'all have never seen the play against North Carolina in the bowl game where he makes an interception along the sidelines and
throws it back into play,
incredible. This is where – and Dansby was probably, I think, Brad, correct me if I'm wrong, a little bit more highly rated coming out of high school, maybe a high four-star. But still, this is the kind of athlete that has got so much potential and so versatile. You get a guy like that playing linebacker, I mean, and that's where you don't have to go out, oh, by the way, and get one in the portal 2 years from now.
That's right.
You've got a guy like that that is developed.
Yeah, you're right. He was out of highly rated Woodlawn High School. Credit Tommy Tuberville and John Lovett, too. He was a highly touted receiver, but they saw him immediately as a safety or linebacker at the next level. And I'll tell you what, that play against North Carolina in the ballgame was outstanding. He had an interception against Vanderbilt and Jay Cutler in 2002 that was as impressive. In a driving rainstorm, he goes up to deflect the ball right in Cutler's face. And just bobbles it and just catches it and comes down it and just
point blank.
He had a great career with the NFL, with the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, he was not like a flash in the pan. He was a staple there on that defense.
Yep.
By the way. Dansby's profile, 6'4", 205. That's his recruiting profile from 24/7 back in the day. 6'4", 205. Branch is 6'3 and a half, 210.
Yep. I mean, you got 10, 15 pounds and he doesn't lose any speed.
Man, that's scary. Yeah. Hopefully, he's playing at a pretty high. He's playing on a pretty high level 7-on-7 team, too. So that'll help. Maybe help. You know, as far as making that transition from wide receiver to safety full time, just getting you some more reps, getting ready for the season. He'd be one you watch that maybe after he has his first three or four games, because they're always going to play those first games on ESPN. Like that, a St. Francis Academy is going to play on ESPN against somebody. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, get that good competition. He could be one that you see his stock soar or his rating go up just based off of his
measurables. This class has the most potential re-ranking dudes that I've ever seen, like Chapman, this guy. You watch at the end, unless, you know, the Bammer site that's on does it, but you watch and see legitimate ones, how they get re-ranked. You may see three or four of these kids jump to a four-star.
Nash Johnson, right, Kyle?
Yeah, I love Nash Johnson. I don't know where this "I don't like Nash Johnson" thing came from. I love Nash Johnson. Yeah, I agree with you, Dad. It's like we're getting the three stars that all the other folks are offering as well. And I always point to Jalen Moore, and I think that's, you know, like a rock
offer ball. List. Look at the offer list. That's what I do. And I'm telling you, if those dudes want them, star schmar, let's go.
All right, yeah. I want to switch gears, okay? Because when Auburn gets a commit, Auburn fans celebrate, all right? And, you know, immediately Auburn fans want to go, you know, poke fun at Alabama for not recruiting well at this point in time. I think they're still dead last, 16 out of 16 in recruiting.
Case in point.
And it's like there's a company email, Brad, that's been sent out because they always have the same response. And to me, it's not really the flex that I feel like they think it is when they say we spent all our money, or that's what it sounds like anyway. We spent a lot of money on retention and whatnot. So the high school is not really a priority this year. This high school class is not really a priority. So we're going to be selective, you know, and maybe only have signed 14 or 15 kids. But the thing is, the 14 or 15 that they're going to sign are not really, outside of maybe a handful right now, not even a handful, are not really on par with what Alabama's used to bringing in. Let's just go with that. So is that philosophy valid? Like, can you really only do one thing at a time?
I do think there is some validity to
numbers.
It's hard to do both. Like, we're seeing that with Ole Miss and LSU. They're going portal heavy every year, and they're not going to finish in the top two or three in the SEC in high school classes as long as Lane Kiffin is there. And, you know, with Golding, if they stick with the same portal heavy philosophy, it's just hard to do that. Here's the intellectual inconsistency with the Alabama water carrying bullet points that are out there. It's risky, and no one's talking about that. You put your money in retention. It ain't retention season. You don't retain a roster until after the season is over.
Love that.
So you lose four or five games. You know, if you lose four games for a third consecutive year, and all of a sudden money dries up. Yep. And some of these guys get better offers at other places, and the price gets jacked up. And it's just, it doesn't make intellectual sense. Now, if you want to say we put all our money into the current roster, and every year we'll do the same thing with portal, that's fine if you're portal focused. But you're talking about retaining guys. You're months away from retention season.
And I guess, go ahead, Christian. You about to say something?
No, go ahead.
I was going to say the argument could be made, too, that retention season is during the season as well. And I think that's why you see coaches sometimes make decisions that I think under the old rules they wouldn't make, because they're trying to keep kids happy, keep them on the roster, and don't want to lose them 6-7 months from now. It's a very, very tricky situation to be in. So I think that a lot of these coaches actually have the mindset that every week, every day, we're retaining our roster. And it's a dangerous game to play if you start waiting till recruiting season to start throwing bags to retain kids when, you know, this kid feels like he should be playing, he's forgotten, you come back to him in January, and by then he's like, no. The damage is already done. You know, it's hard. Coaches make decisions, I think, compromise a little bit because they don't want to lose kids on rosters.
I've watched the Alabama media machine operate for a very long time. it's not surprising that nobody is questioning the language. They're just picking it up and running with it.
Absolutely.
And it's look, and at the end of the, like, you know, DeBoer has a chance to do something that like an Alabama coach in a long time hasn't done. And that's win his first three Iron Bowls and, you know, go to back-to-back playoffs. He could do that. He might. And ultimately results on the field are what's going to matter. But this, it almost comes off as an intentional, positive framing.
If he does that, he is the benefit of fortuitous good fortune, because he's doing it in an era where there's 12 teams that make the playoff, yeah, and he's doing it in an era where Auburn sucks. So to win three Iron Bowls in an era where Tuberville or even Malzahn was there, and it was only a beast, you know, it was only a four-team playoff.
Yeah.
Not so much. And I get it. We could play the what if, but you make a great point there, Brad. But I just want to say that it's for perspective, he's doing it under different guidelines and rules that Saban had to do it under.
Brad, I want to push back just a smidge on the doing it one way or the other idea, okay? And I want to go with this. I can understand where numbers could fluctuate from year to year. I can understand you may have a young team, and so we may only need X amount of high school guys. I can remember there was when Dabo was rocking and rolling. Mm-hmm. There was a class where I think he signed like 17 or 18 guys because they just didn't have the spots and they didn't have to worry about the portal at that point in time. I can understand numbers fluctuating from year to year. I can't understand why that also affects the talent level that you're bringing in. Like if you're only going to bring in, if you're only going to get 12 guys in this class,
why aren't they a bunch of five stars?
Why aren't they the 12 best players in the country? Yeah, that's the part. And why are two of them quarterbacks?
Yeah.
Next year, there's two more too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why is that the case? To me, it almost feels like a mismanagement. It feels like a money mismanagement issue to me. I don't know any other way to explain it.
Yeah. No, I agree with that point. And I think as a really wise guy down in the bottom right-hand corner says, often two things can be true at the same time. I agree. The guys they're getting, it would make a lot more sense if they were the elite of the elite. Are you going to pay both hotshot quarterback? You're going to pay at least one of them just to sit, and maybe both. Because they ain't coming for cheap.
Yeah, and like Christian just said, you got another one committed in 2028. Which I
playing
don't have
retention. Playing retention the game when it's not going to happen because you got four quarterbacks that are going to be on your roster the next 2 years. Like, no, it's not happening.
And you're rolling the dice.
Yeah.
I mean, again, underrated point that Brad said that I hope it doesn't get glossed over. There's a certain standard about staying on this team that A, you're going to get to the playoffs. B, you're going to get to the NFL. If all of a sudden something drops off and you lose five games one year and lose the Iron Bowl, that retention game becomes a lot more difficult to do because money is money and you can get money at other schools.
Yeah.
And so it's a gamble.
You can go to the NFL from anywhere else too. They will find you at Montana Tech State.
Yep.
If you're good enough to go to the NFL.
Yep.
I mean, what happens if you're locked in on this small class like this though? What happens if like you do lose four or five games and then you get to the end of the year and you get fleeced in the portal and you don't have enough time to make up? Actually, you're beyond being able to make it up, bringing high school guys in, you know, to pad that back end of the roster. I don't know.
I'll tell you what happens. If they don't make the playoff, they fire Kalen DeBoer, and Greg Byrne goes and hires somebody that will fire up the fan base to give as much money as they can possibly give. That's the only option they have. They can't – that program in particular, stagnancy pushes them down faster than at other programs.
That's a good point.
They can't afford that, and they won't. They will make a move quickly, and they'll bring in somebody and overpay him, and nobody will write articles about how much they're paying fired coaches, but that's what they'll do. They'll get a coach who drives the fan base to give a whole lot more, because your point is right. They'll have to, and they'll have to have huge portal classes for like 2-3 years in a row.
Right.
They'll never go back to the days where they promote a defensive coordinator that was on staff, or go get a beloved Mike Shula. Those days are, or even the hot shot, you know, TCU. Those days are gone. They only can go big bear hunting.
Yeah.
Because if they don't, 3, 4, 5, 6 schools will pass them up rather quickly.
They don't mind screwing up the market either. They'll go after Kurt Cignetti and pay him like $25 million a year, mm-hmm. if that's what it takes. I'm serious.
Look, for anybody that gives 5 memberships away and does a super chat gets one. So here we go. You ready?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
I had to get off the screen for that. I'm the most uncomfortable with that as I am anything we've ever done.
Zach always makes me do it, and then it's just like, I know I was very uncomfortable doing it privately when I get off the podcast with him.
Kathy says that's the best $5 she's ever.
But for money, to benefit the channel and the look, my face is red. Can you see that? How embarrassed awesome. I got. That's I just beautiful. It's just not me. That's not my DNA. But I'll do it. I'll take face, it for the team.
My face is red for you. Yep.
We still got a little bit more time. If you want to enter the giveaway, we're giving away $50 worth of AUShirts.com gear. So far, we have 10 entries. You can either sub to the premium YouTube page, which is going to have just a boatload of content, by the way. You got Christian's new show dropping on Monday. You got the energy drink reviews, all kind of stuff coming. Or you can gift a membership. And every time you gift one, he gets added to the wheel. I think we're all kind of on the same page as far as, I guess, both of these topics. Auburn's at 20. We talked about Auburn being at 26 commits. Do we think that's where we end? Where does it end?
No, it ends with Carlos 31. May. Let's go.
You feel good about that. You've been planting your flag on that all week, Dap. You feel good, don't you?
I do.
Brad, what do you think?
I think they get up close to 30.
Really?
I don't think they're done.
That's a great point that someone made. How after Pound Town can Brad's face ever be red at anything?
Guys, this is a legitimate business idea. And if people are new to the chat and they're not familiar, Christian, are you familiar with this idea?
I've heard it in the past, but you can refresh my memory. Okay.
This is so simple, and it's not like you can make it. Look, whatever is in your heart is in your heart. I can't help that. My legitimate business idea is we've got a business that sells nothing but cake, like nothing but bundt cakes, right?
Right.
Okay. We do the same thing with pound cake, and we call it Pound Town. There's dozens of flavors of pound cake. Call it Pound Town, and that's the name of your business. Marketing is built in.
I got a good one right now. I want it.
Marketing is built in, and we don't have to go through all the different iterations of it. And but it's just it's there
makes
for the
sense,
taking.
You know,
I hope it's not being misconstrued as anything unseemly. It's a
no,
very
how ex- could it
no
it's better not be. It's an very excited for you know you're at a concert, you're at a ball game. Period.
Basically, like Kool-Aid.
Let the dreamers dream.
Doing it. It's the
just
same.
Let the dreamers dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. That's a great place for dessert after a good meal.
Right.
Exactly. Shout out Kathy, another 5 memberships. Kathy's killing it.
Kathy, another 5 on fire.
Man.
She wants that merch.
I got to tell you, as Timberlakes go, it's Kathy here, Justin here.
Yeah. Cause
me, it is.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. That we know of, she never got pulled over.
I don't know. I bet. Yeah.
Kyle said, I don't know. I never said what for.
Oh, man. So you think we end up at 30 or touching close. 30.
Yeah.
Do you see us retaining everybody? Like you think you retain everybody and you're adding 3 to 4, at least 3 more.
I think you hedge against a couple probably getting flipped. I don't know which two. I don't have any kind of leaning there. It's just a numbers game.
Yeah, it is.
And I think I've been really impressed, and I think this staff has earned some equity because of how much experience, particularly Alex Golish, has running recruiting operations. It's a huge staff. They're thorough. They seem to have like a finger on the pulse of what recruiting is today in college football. So, yeah, I think they probably hedge against a couple of these guys getting flipped late.
It's the natural attrition of things, so I agree with you. But I do feel like, you know, maybe this is just, you know, putting my bug glasses on. I don't know, but it feels different this year, the way that they got in the boat compared to the last couple of years where there was bags thrown at them. The flips, all those flips happened over the last couple of years. Other than Monty Williams, we haven't had a flip. It's been show up to the official visit, feet in boat, I'm ready to roll. Let's commit. Let's go. So I feel like probably a couple, but not as many. I think they're going to put really strong defense on the recruiting trail.
I love it. So you have, let's see, we have four current top 100 players. And then several that are, you know, like a 152, a 166, 191. Who are, Dap, you were talking about earlier, who are some of the guys you think could potentially make the biggest jumps? Like, let's just name like three. Let's just pick three guys that we think, or one each or whatever, that we think will make the biggest jump or could make the biggest jump in the rankings. And it doesn't necessarily have to mean 3 to 4 star or 4 to 5 star. It could just be, hey, this guy can move up into the top 100, or this guy could jump into the top 250. Let's give one each, and then we may call it a night.
I'm going with Chapman Jr., the quarterback. I just watching his. Now I get it. You know, these huddle films and all this kind of stuff is all highlight clips. So it's only going to show you what he does great. But there are certain characteristics that no matter what he does, other times off camera, still jump out at you. His acceleration between the hash marks when linebackers and safeties are chasing him, that gear to get 15, 20 yards upfield is ungodly. The way the ball comes out of his hand, spin rate. He threw a ball that was a dart on the sidelines, like a 20-yard dig, and then I saw him throw a ball 50, 60 yards where he put real nice loft under it. That's just God-given, and I don't know. You can't cut up tape unless it's AI to edit that. So there's just a lot of things, but he is so multifaceted with his dual threat. I'm shocked that he's a 3-star now. Mm-hmm. And I think as he plays his senior year and puts up more gaudy numbers, he'll make a jump.
Christian, you got one?
I got five. So Brad, you want to go first? I'll end strong.
I'll be quick then, because I think your knowledge of this is probably a little more advanced than mine, but I like the size of Rance Brown out of Brentwood. You know, that's a talent rich area. 6'6", 290. And he's hovering like around 70 to 90 at the position nationally. So I like a Rance Brown. I like the size there. Maybe with a big year, he can make
a good one. That's a good
one. Love Rance Brown. Yeah. I think there's four players in my mind that will jump up stars. And I think there's one that I think has the better development out of all of them, but probably won't change anywhere just based where he is. I think you see Nash Johnson and Nyjer Crum go from a 3-star to a 4-star. I think they have huge years this season. I think they get to see where they're at. And then, of course, Mason Johnson Cook and Isaac McNeil are going to go to 5 stars. We're going to get those 5 stars in the class.
Let's go. All right.
And I think the one that's going to get is the most underrated, in my opinion, in the entire class. Although he's a 4-star, he doesn't get enough love because we continue to talk about Carlos May, is Nate Kamba. I think Nate Kamba is just the way he plays, the way that he gets in the backfield. What we've seen, I do really like his game. So give me Nate Kamba.
So I got two, and I'm going like super recruiting rankings nerd right here. So James Pace is my first one. And I know you're going to be like, man, he's already 166 in the country. Yes, that's correct. But on ESPN, he's a top 100 player. On 247, he's the number 132 in the country. Rivals hasn't quite gotten to him yet. I feel like he's only a 3-star on Rivals. If he can come in if they do a re-rank and he's somewhere within the top 150, you're going to see his ranking shoot up big time. I think he's got a chance to be touching a top 100 player in the industry average, and I think it's worth it. I think he's like the most legit, true, like bull rushing edge that you got in this class. So I really like James Pace, and Deshaun Hall is very similar. Top 140 on 247, top 144 on ESPN, three-star on Rivals. So those are two, like, those are two examples of guys that are four-star guys that could make really, really big jumps with just getting their Rivals ranking, you know, I guess, in order with a good senior season. So,
Kyle, the Hall thing, you've nailed. You've been kind of very prophetic. Talking to somebody 2 weeks ago that's very, very close to their program and knows him really well in the family, and they said that one of the things that he has gotten a bad rap is that he just catches balls outside, fade patterns and such.
Yeah.
And they're gonna consciously run routes between the hashes this year and let him go over in the middle of the field to show his versatility that he can make those catches too.
I love it.
If that happens, skyrockets.
I love it. I love it. Well, as we've come to the end of the show,
wow.
I don't know that. I mean, do we want to spin the wheel, or we just want to give it to Ms. Kathy? I think Ms. Kathy should just give it.
All the names are her on there. So let's just spin the wheel.
Christian's definitely. Oh, hey, looky there.
Nice.
What a shot.
There. Wow.
Let's go.
What an upset.
She's going to have so much. You know, she also won. She's won this before.
She won that jacket. Yeah.
She's going to have so much.
She's bringing winning back. Yeah.
She's going to have so much barn gear. So
changing the identity, changing the culture here at the barn. That's what
there
she's
you doing. Go. Ms. Kathy, I'll reach out to you. We'll get this thing hooked up for you. Guys, thank you all so much. Brad, thank you for joining. Christian, thank you for joining. Dap, thank you for joining as always. Guys, thank y'all for listening. Don't forget, you got Barn 247, 24/7 going. You can catch all the shows on a loop, baby. So when you get, if you're up doom scrolling at night, just throw on the Barn 24/7 and fall asleep to Brad's sweet voice lulling you right into dreamland, baby.
McConaughey voice. He's reading those bedtime stories.
We could do some like special audio recordings that only run between the hours.
That would be fun.
It put people to sleep. Like that Calm app would be like
Brad 30 minutes of Brad reading.
It would be like this, guys. It would be a whisper. Oh yeah.
Listen, who needs Samuel L. Jackson? You can get Brad Law saying "Go the f to sleep" in a book.
He wouldn't do that.
Barn bedtime stories.
Barn bedtime stories. Oh my god. We could all. That would be classic. Let's do it.
Guys, y'all take it easy. We're out of here.